This morning, number 15, the new man. And why am I keep stressing the new man? Because you are not a sinner that was saved. You're a saint. You're a new man. You're a new creature. You're a new believer is different than someone who is still lost in their sin, or even different than an Old Testament believer. If you can't get this in your DNA, in your spiritual DNA, actually it's in your spiritual DNA, it needs to be released to your soul. That you are a new creation. All old things have passed away. All things have become new. Then you do not need to be intimidated by what the culture tells you or wants you to believe. You don't get shaken by what's going on in the South. And by the way, I believe with the prophets and the intercessors in the weeks to come, we will still see breakthrough, and Trump will do a second term. Our God is the God of the impossible. When it becomes humanly impossible, God can show up. But will His people stand and believe for that? And there's those who are. There's always a remnant. The new man, number 15. My title is, Don't Let the Devil Walk on Your Mind as a Sidewalk. Say it again. Don't let the devil walk on your mind as a sidewalk. I'm going to preach or speak to you out of Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, but specifically verse 2. But we need to look at the first 11 chapters that got us here, because the chapter begins, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And where is the therefore? Is because of what has transpired, what he's talked about in the first 11 chapters. He begins with talking about how all of mankind, Jew and Gentile, is totally lost. He quotes Psalm 14, and I think it's 56, and Romans chapter 2. None seek after God. All have gone astray. There is none who does good. He talks about God giving man over to his debased mind, and that's where homosexuality comes from. That's where transgenderism comes from. That's where confused thinking comes from. It's like God taking a step back and say, if that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. But then in chapter 3, but it says, but God. And he begins to unfold, he begins to unravel this incredible plan of salvation, where the Father and the Son had an agreement, and the Son was sent to this earth to redeem man that was lost, hopelessly lost, that could not redeem himself. This message, this incredible story of love that was manifest at the cross. Satan didn't see it coming. He didn't know it after it happened, until the rock was rolled away and Jesus arose, and then it was too late for him. And his head was crushed by Jesus. And now everything is beneath the feet of Jesus. Then he goes on in chapter 4, is by faith. In chapter 5, while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. In chapter 6, about this battle about, you know, we have died to Christ, yet there's this battle that's going on. That's chapter 7. Chapter 6, you've died to Christ, therefore live that way. Chapter 7, this battle of, okay, but if the good that I want to do, I don't do. And then chapter 8, that a couple years ago, I think I preached 19 or 20 messages out of Romans chapter 8, my personal favorite chapter in the Bible. Because it tells us who we are. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. But even if you choose to walk after the flesh, you might be thinking it and believing it, but there is still no condemnation. There is no condemnation to God's people. And then the chapter goes on and talks about how earth is travailing and groaning, waiting for its deliverance through you, the sons of God. The new man, the new creation. Chapter 9 and 10, or chapter 10 and 11, talking about how the Jews will again come into in the fullness of time. And then chapter 12. Therefore, brethren, I beseech you, because of this incredible love story, this redemptive story of man being hopelessly lost, therefore, what should our response be? So read with me just the first two verses of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I'm in the wrong chat. I've got Hebrews. Marker, that's an excellent verse 1 and 2 as well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God, through Paul, pleads with us that we give our bodies, this temple of the Holy Spirit, to Him because of all He has done for us. His mercy is astounding. How do you give thanks for that? Someone recently was delivered, was helped from some incredible hardship. And they said, thanks seems to be too small to keep saying to God. What about having your lost soul redeemed? How about having the message of life in you can share with others and see God's power at work? How about seeing people are oppressed, people who are sick, and even seeing the dead raised to life, given a second chance at life, coming to the feet of Jesus to praise Him forever and ever? How can we ever fully reap? We can't. We can't pay God back. But what He asks of us, what I'm asking of you, He says, give me your bodies as a living sacrifice. We can say it, we can sing it, we can declare it, but let our lives show it. Let it be lived out by us. Let the offering of your body be an act of spiritual worship. How much, God? How much of my life? How much of this body should be a living sacrifice? You know what He says? All of it. All of it, all of the time. In day, in night. When you're alone, when you're with others, when you're with the body of believers, when you're not with them, when you're in the world but not of it, all of it, all of the time. And the opposite of your body to be an act of spiritual, of a living sacrifice, is to use parts of your body as instruments of unrighteousness. Now remember here, I'm speaking out of Romans 12, not Romans 6. And I want to highlight that in a little bit. Okay, and this is post-Romans 8. There's no condemnation. But it doesn't mean there can't be conviction. There's a big difference. How much of it? All of it. And if it's all of it, and if I were to focus on sexual purity, then I would say it would include your eyes, include your hands, include your sexual organs. Be highlighted. If I were to talk about, if the focus is humility or honesty, it would include your tongue, how you posture yourself, how you carry yourself, how you subject yourself. You can walk straight and be very humble. You can walk very, bow down and be very proud. Your whole body. And if the focus is following Jesus in everything, there is no part of your body that is not included in giving God something that lives. God's looking for life, godly life, to come forth from your body as it's directed by your soul, as it's transformed by the renewing of your mind, as we get to in verse chapter 2. Now, it's not a command. You have the choice. You have the choice to forever and ever, forever, because eternity started when you got saved. You have the choice to seek to please Him and live for Him out of thankfulness and gratefulness. I believe the more we understand His love for us, the easier it is to respond despite the battle that it is. It's a plea. It's like, I beg you, would you respond to me with your whole being? This is what I've done for you, therefore, would you consider surrendering your whole being? Spirit is already mine, but your soul and body as well. Everything. And then verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what's conformed and what's transformed? Conformed means you become like something else. You can become a clone. You can become a twin. It's to take the form as another. It's to be molded into another form. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines it as this: to be similar or identical, to be in agreement or harmony with, and to act in accordance with. Conform. Do not be conformed to this world. Some examples of conforming. We can follow fashion. My girls could tell you how hard of a dad I was to them when they were in fashion mode as teenagers. Probably too hard. I own it today. But I would not let them follow the trends the moments they came out. My reasoning was, I don't want you to simply imbibe and embrace everything that the world has to offer as if you have to have it. Now again, I was probably too harsh. Or tattoos. Yeah, I'm going to pick on tattoos this morning. It's a trend to be conformed. I wouldn't be surprised if 50% of the culture has a tattoo of one kind or another on their skin. We conform. One has it, I like it, I want it. Or we go along with the majority. I've already highlighted that this morning. If you go along with the majority in COVID, you're going to walk in fear. But it's easier, do you know that? It is easier in one aspect, but it's damning as well. It's oppressive, it's oppressive. It takes the life out of you. If you want to conform, you're going to do exactly as the world says you got to do. Just trust us, trust the health officials, trust the government officials, trust us, we know best. Just trust us. Just conform. We're never allowed to just conform for the sake of conforming unless the Holy Spirit directs us to. Or we follow tradition. The church I came out of in the 90s, I had this. Well, the Holy Spirit awakened me to things. And I would ask the leaders, how come we're doing this? The Bible says this, but we're doing this. You know what the answer was? Because we've always done it that way. It's easier. Conform. Whereas the other side, the other hand, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we know the illustration, the best illustration of nature is the butterfly, isn't it? I know when Ken Gill was here some weeks ago, he again highlighted some of that. When a caterpillar goes through the process of becoming a butterfly. Now, it's the same DNA, but it's expressed differently. There's actually DNA that's been untapped. And this caterpillar becomes like this mush, this goop, and it gets rebirthed, as it were, and the DNA expresses itself differently. And during the metamorphosis process, there's a hormone that changes how DNA expression works. And so it was this, and now it's this. There is an incredible contrast. It's not conforming. There is no identical looks or behavior. It is totally, totally, very, very different. Now, I don't know there'll be too many of us who are not familiar with Romans 12, 1 and 2. You may well have it memorized. You've heard messages on it. You've read on it. But it doesn't mean we're living them. Familiarity with these verses doesn't mean we're manifesting them. Now, a question. Which is generally easier, to conform or to transform? Add to it our fleshly tendencies. Conform or transform? Despite the incredible presence of the Spirit of God in us to transform, it's not impossible. It is easier to go with the crowd. It is easier to give to the flesh. It is easier to be lazy. It is easier to be undisciplined. It is easier to take a step back. It's easier to glide for a while. It's easier to just check out for a while. It is easier to say, tomorrow I'll do this. Tomorrow I'll begin. Or it's even easier to settle for a level of growth as a follower of Jesus Christ. But go back to the first part. I beseech you, God says. I beseech you. I beg you. I plead with you. Don't settle for that. We're going to go for more. Wherever you are conformed or molded to the world, you cannot change the world. Where you look like the world, you will not change the world. Where you sound like the world, you will not impact the world. Where you embrace the world, it's got a hold of you instead of you having hold of it. Do not be conformed to the world, Paul says. Give you some examples. COVID vaccine. If you're going to conform and be open to the vaccine, you're not going to warn anybody about its dangers and why maybe you shouldn't take it. Conform, transform. Someone sent me a, I get lots of this stuff and I don't mind it coming my way. I kind of filter my way through. Someone sent me a clip this week about, again, the tendencies of where this could go. It could prohibit your movements, attending education facilities, workplaces, travel, because you don't have the electronic data on you that you've got the vaccine. Are we going to conform or transform? Movie content. If your criteria of movie content is quite liberal, it'll be difficult for you to convince your kids. There is no tolerance, there's no acceptance for God's name to be taken in vain. Conform or transform? Mammon. We all like money, right? I do. I need it. Well, God's my provider, but we need it. It's a currency. That's how we do things. But when mammon gets the best of you, it's no longer about serving as a primary motive in what you're doing. Let me pick on a car salesman, a used car salesman. There's none here, right? No, there's none, as far as I know. You know what's wrong underneath that hood. You know it's not worth the $6,500 they're asking. You know it should go off the lot for no more than $4,000. You got a family to feed, and the more you sell, the bigger your bonus. And here's the customer. They got the $6,500 to spend because they kind of gave it away. They got up to $7,000 for a car. When mammon gets a hold of you, you're going to get top dollar for that car instead of trying to sell it to the person for what it's worth because you want to serve them with a kingdom heart. You're going to conform or you're going to transform. You can apply it to any part. When business is about the bottom line, you've conformed to the ways of the world. But when your motive is fair market value and the best service that I can give you, you've transformed. How about raising your kids? We've got a few kids in here. We've got a few families in here. Praise God for kids. We've got some pregnant moms in here. If you give them hours and hours, moms, I understand the battle. I get it. In my home, when my wife is cooking dinner, it's the most intense time. Mom, can you put the password in the iPad? Her mind is on cooking. She's got her, and then the phone rings and the pressure applied. Come on, Mom, I want my time now. And you give them 30 minutes or you gave them 30 minutes and it's like, wow, they snuck an hour on you. What about the families that it is free reign? As foster parents, we hear these stories. They go for respite to this family and these teenagers. They lock themselves away in the bedroom and they play electronics all day long. They come out for meals and they disappear. You're going to conform or you're going to transform? Hours and hours of electronics, internet. How about this one? Will you let your kids struggle? Is it possible that many of our millennials, our millennials today, were never taught to struggle? You see, because their parents, they struggled. They knew how hard it was. My parents came out of the war. I mean, their parents in the midst of it, they grew up in the war. And it's like they had to learn, as your parents, some of you yourselves, yeah, you had to learn to scrape the pennies together and hard work to make it, and immigrants, etc. And so we want to give our kids a better future. And we spoil them. We don't let them struggle. We do it for them. We step in. Conform. Transform. Do not be conformed to the world. Or you let them rule you. I know, I have a strong disposition, I get it. Some of you have less of that. But it's not allowed in God's kingdom for the kids to rule the parents. Because there's an entitlement and there's no respect for authorities when they go into the society. You are not shaping them into culture changers. Is it one, Psalm 126, 127? It's about having your quiver full of these sharpened arrows so your kids can go where you can't even reach. You see, if we're going to conform to the world, we're going to raise these sissy kids, or we're going to transform them into kingdom kids that are world changers and impactors. So if you want to bring change to this world, you can't be just like it. Wherever you're molded to the world, you will not be transformed to be more like Jesus. But the verse goes on, and we won't get to all of it, but I wanted to highlight the mind part. Transformation happens through the renewing of our minds. Now, Paul here is not talking about the struggle of remaining sin. Okay, he's not. You can take the verse, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Say, yeah, I know, you know. I mean to do good, but that's not the passage. That's Romans 7. Okay, and we're on the other side of condemnation. This isn't about condemnation. This is about being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's about your mind not yet being in tune with the mind of Christ. It's about the things that you should know but don't know yet. The areas where you're still deceived, it's the areas that are still somehow oppressing you. It's darkness, but you don't even know it, or you know there's something there, but you don't know how to get out. It's not about the sanctification process. That's not what Paul is highlighting here. Paul is not talking about the struggle of knowing what's right, but finding yourself living otherwise. That's not what he's saying. Your mind knows what's truth and the right thing to do, but you still didn't do it. That's not it. We all have that. We have these struggles because you have the revelation. Your mind has been transformed. You just haven't given in. You have given in to the ways of the world. But here your mind, it's not the battle of flesh versus spirit. That's not the passage. But it's this. And I don't know where you're at. But I know I'm talking to the body of Christ. And I'm talking, and let me allow a general statement to believe the best of you, because if you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, this has to resonate. If you have been forgiven, and if the plea comes your way, therefore surrender yourselves and be a living sacrifice, your whole body, and let your mind be transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then this quote by Mario Murillo will make sense. He says, you are a child of God. That means to do anything below what you were created to do will bore you. Sin should bore you. Knowing better and not doing it should bore you. But it's saying, God, there's more. I know there's more. There's so much more. I just haven't seen it yet. I just haven't grasped it yet. And so I believe in the transforming through the renewing of my mind. And so I need another area of my mind to be enlightened by the truth so that I can reach for all that you have for me and for your glory and your kingdom. That's what Paul's talking about. Yes, the Christian life is a life of discipline. It's a life of boot camp at times, but it's not laborious, it's not harsh, it's not hard, unless you give in to the flesh. Every Christian should say, anything less than what God has for me is boring. It cannot compare. What did Cam share? Dreams of heaven. It wasn't hard to say the same thing over and over and over. You show me a believer who has come away from the presence of Jesus who wants to go and sin. It's an oxymoron. But you show me a believer who is backslidden, who knows better, and he hasn't repented of it yet. This verse means very little to him. But someone hungry for God, someone who said, God, I want more. I know there's more. I want more. And says, Lord, transform me by the renewing of my mind in the areas that I have not yet discovered. How do we do this? I'm glad you asked. How do you renew your mind? If you read the Phillips translation, it'll tell you it's from within. I'll read it at the end of my notes here. How do you renew your mind? The Holy Spirit renews the mind through God's Word. It comes back to basics, doesn't it? Have you ever noticed that when you fill your mind with the mainstream media, you kind of get this cloud over your head? It's like it's discouraging, it's like disheartening. And then someone gives you a positive report and it picks you right up. It's like on the forefront of your mind. And you can live and feed off of that for a while. And so what you put in on a regular basis is going to dictate how you're doing, how you're living, what you're believing, and to what degree your body is a living sacrifice for Jesus. So it comes down to basics. Been here many times. If you do not have a steady intake of God's Word, your mind will not be renewed. But that brings up a huge issue. Yes, it's the 21st century and it's a huge issue. And the issue is, do you embrace the Word of God as the final authority? Do you embrace that Genesis to Malachi is relevant today? Do you believe that the book of Leviticus has something to tell us today? Or do you cut, copy and paste and cut whatever appeals to you? This I can believe, but that I can't. This appeals today, but tomorrow I'm not so sure. You see, if Jesus is the Logos, then he's the author of Leviticus. And if you cut out Leviticus, you cut out something that he's telling the church today. You can't separate the written word from the living word. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I wish every church would take that position, every believer would have that conviction. Because if you start to dismiss the Word of God, your mind will not be transformed, will not be renewed. I know God speaks to you. My sheep hear my voice. But we always got to go back to the Word. Does it line up? God, was that you? And if it resonates with the Word, you can take it to the bank. And if it doesn't, put a question mark behind it. And if you're still not sure, seek some accountability. But this one, this is a sure word. Yeah. Test it in time. Amen. Amen. I know translations, we lose some of its depth, but it's a sure word of God. And then you meditate on it. As I've said before, the difference between you this morning is, you and me this morning, I meditated on Romans 12, 1 and 2. You didn't. And I'm releasing to what God impressed upon me. I know you can hone and cultivate your teaching skills, but what I do, you can do when you have the Spirit of God. But then it's by faith. He illumines something on His Word from His Word. And so this is what the Bible says, and this is your situation. And it's like the two don't line up. What are you going to do? What I read and what I feel don't line up. What I read and what I think, based on my experience, don't line up. So what are you going to do? You stand on the Word, despite what you feel, despite what you think, despite what your experience is, despite what the world tells you. You see, conformity is easy. Miracles aren't for today because we're not seeing them. That's conforming to the world. Transform minds, say, my Jesus of the Bible is my Jesus of today and my Jesus of tomorrow. His word is everlasting. He does not change. What he did yesterday, he does today, and he'll do forever. But the flesh is, but that's so hard. I even get ridiculed in the body of Christ. Jesus never said it'd be easy, but he said, I'll be with you. By faith. Faith is acting on the word of God. Confess what you believe, not what you feel. So for some of you, this is for some of you here this morning, you need to confess the word of God out loud over your situation, over your dilemma, over your mountain. You know the familiar phrase, don't tell God how big your problem is, tell your problem how big your God is. Because if God has given revelation on it, we can stand on it. We are a new creation. It's from within. So stop waiting for an outside miracle to change your mind. Oh, we like the zaps. Just got high blood pressure, so I'm going to take this little pill, but I'm not going to change my lifestyle. Now, I know that's an unfair statement in general, but I mean, if someone is irresponsible in their physical well-being and they want the pill to fix it, that's not the way. And I understand there's those who have high blood pressure who will do everything, and they've done everything they could, and they still have high blood pressure. That's not where I'm going. I'm saying when we want to, yeah. But if we want our sin and a pill to cover the sin, don't expect a miracle. Change comes from within. Again, no condemnation. But if conviction fits, let it stick. But you see, you can be saved and still have the devil use your mind as a sidewalk to trample on. So I'm coming back to my title. And I know the analogy doesn't totally fit, but Matthew 13, there is this parable that Jesus begins with. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a sower who went out to seed. And he sowed, and some fell on the wayside. Let's call it the sidewalk. And the devil came and took it away. And the seed is the word of God. So watch what you permit your mind to dwell on. Don't talk to me, but how many hours you spend on Facebook this week? Don't talk to me, how much time on Instagram, Twitter, social media. Stuff that wouldn't have given you spiritual food in comparison to what transforms your mind or your being. Let's put it in the balance. Maybe that's too heavy, but I'm not taking it away. I love you. I love the God who saved me. And he's pleading with us this morning. And he's saying, take a checklist to your life. Where is your focus? And if it's news, maybe you need to cut some of that out. If your Bible doesn't hardly open, if the Word of God doesn't get to penetrate your spirit. Watch what you, because what you focus on is powerful. The brain will build upon what it rests on. Right? This physical brain grows these non-physical branches, as I understand from Caroline Leaf. So what you fill your mind with becomes where you're going. Let me say again what I said before. You can be saved and still have the devil use your mind as a sidewalk to trample on. Why don't you kick him off your sidewalk? Kick him off with the Word of God. Why don't you confront him when he brings a memory back, or when a feeling comes over you, or a pain connected to something in the past. Oh, this isn't for the weak. This isn't for the cowards. This is about transformation, not conformity. Conformity says, all right, I'll just let him be there. You know, as long as it doesn't get any worse. God's highway of holiness has no room for the devil. Again, I'm stressing, no condemnation. This is not Romans 7, this is Romans 12. This is after the glorious explanation of the gospel of the kingdom of God about how to go further than where you are. Because God wants everything he's dreamt over you to come to pass. He has more for you than where you currently are. He wants to share the reigning and ruling of this world with you. He won't do it without you. And when we are conformed to his image. See, that's the conforming to his image. Because that's the rest of the chapter, that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward a goal of true maturity, which is looking like Jesus Christ. So a renewed mind is a powerful mind. It's a God mind. It's a Holy Spirit-owned mind. It's a Holy Spirit-renewed mind. And allows you to glorify God by doing what you were created to do. But let me stress one more time, and then Graham, you can come up. I'm not telling you. I'm pleading with you. I beseech you. I plead with you. Consider giving your bodies as a living sacrifice. And the way your bodies can become a living sacrifice when your mind is renewed and you're a transformed being, where it becomes more natural to say, God, you can have my hands, you can have my eyes, you can have my sexual organs, you can have my feet, anytime and any way you want. So I can be all I'm called to be for your glory. You see that no matter what mountain or power you're facing, it is nothing in comparison to a surrendered living sacrifice that God can use. He found such a one, and he was called Jesus. And through Jesus, the world gets saved. And he's found saints, new creations since, and to the extent that they were willing to live as living sacrifices, God utilized them in powerful ways. So why not you? In Jesus' name, amen.